Thank you, Aaron, for sharing with us this morning that deep exhortation of maintaining God's doctrine for his church. Just had to think as he was sharing, without the doctrine of God or without us walking in that in submission, there will be no passion. There will be no passion for the church. But when we agree with God and we walk in his doctrine, in his ways, that the passion of God will rise up in us when we agree with that and walk in that. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that encouragement to teach the younger, to honor, to be sober, keepers at home, young women to love their husbands, flee from youthful lusts. Wow. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they what? They shall see God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Wow, it's good to be here this morning. Dan, if you want to pull that picture up I sent to you this morning. By the way, I want to just bless you, Dan, for your faithfulness back there behind the sound booth. I can spur things on him and say, you know what, this is short notice. I'm okay if it doesn't work out. And he always gets right back. That'll be fine, brother. I'll take care of it. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. If you all can see this picture, this is the title of my message. It comes from a storybook we have at home. And we see Jesus walking in the middle of a wheat field. The wheat field is ripe. He's actually plucking some already. So there's a harvest that's ready. And that harvest is the body of Christ and all tribes and nations that we sang about this morning. This has been this has been a burden on my heart for some years. Soon after I got born again, I just really saw the harvest forming, and maybe more intensely the last few years has intensified. And so what do you think of when you see this picture? What do you think of? What comes to your mind when you see this? Do you think maybe Jesus is taking some home? Maybe he's gathering in some sheaves already, which is true. But when I think of this picture, I think of there is tribes, there is nations, there is people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And according to this picture, they are being filled. They are being prepared. They are being developed. They are walking in the power of God. Turn with me to Isaiah 61. And we want to look at that, and then also Matthew 5, there's some there, and then on to Jeremiah 9 later on. So in Isaiah 61, I want us to think about, he talks about anointing us to bring good tidings, to preach good tidings unto the meek. And I want us to think about, instead of doing, I want us to think about being this. Just like Aaron shared here, if we cannot be this, if we cannot practice this, believe it and practice it, then we cannot be anointed by God. Because this is part of his heart for his laborers to walk in. And there are many more. But unless we walk with God closely, the truth is he will not dwell in us and he will not fill us. So we cannot be anointed. So let's go through this morning just with the thought of being more than doing. And I'm sure it will come out as in there are things we can do, but that's okay. Also, Phil, in our ministers' meetings, he was sharing with us some of this and encouraging us, challenging us as leaders to walk in this. And I'm saying I desire that. I want that. I'm sharing some of what he shared with you and just expanding a little bit into the harvest. Let's just read this chapter, 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build up old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame shall have double, and for confusion shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the Lord bringeth forth her bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so that the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Powerful word for us today, and the time that we're in, and the harvest that we recognize today. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. And if you're here this morning and you're not born again, you're not in the kingdom of God, there is a way. There is a way to be saved, and that through Jesus Christ and his precious blood that we sang about this morning. He will save you. And he will pull you in, furthermore, pull you out of the miry clay and pull you into the kingdom of God and his fold. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Good news, hope, that good news. And what is it for? Good tidings. You know, sometimes we can pull up beside someone and say, hey, I have something I really want to tell you. It's not a secret. It's just an exciting thing I want to tell you. Pull up. You tell the person this exciting news. Can we just look at this a little bit like that, where there's something in here that is really, really exciting to share? And that's what we want to pull up and labor in that harvest. We have the good news. We have good tidings. We have things that we are excited about because of what God did in our lives. And based on the Word of God, we can go forth with instructions from here of how to do that. Good tidings, bringing hope. For what? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. the brokenhearted. Sometimes when I look at that, I think, you know, it can be someone who's going through a tough time. It can be somebody that's going through just a time of repentance. It can be somebody that has been really betrayed over years, just continuous betrayal in comparison to others possibly, but brokenhearted, or it can be someone who's just in full submission to the Lord. Lord, I'm broken, but these are the pieces that you can use. I have not much to offer except what I believe about you. Brokenhearted, brokenhearted. So it's important this morning that we're healed by God. It's important that we're healed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are prone to sometimes when we're not healed from a hurt or something that God hasn't taken care of, or we've not given him permission to take care of it, or rather we've not even spent time at the cross asking him to take care of it. We are prone to work from a platform that'll just simply keep us from finishing well. Keep us from being used to the fullest potential that God has for us. And I'm talking about the harvest. I'm talking about being and working in the harvest that God has for us, because the harvest is ripe this morning. Would you agree with this morning? The harvest is ripe. Do you have neighbors that are asking questions? I have never seen a time that I've seen so many questions, just people hungry, people thirsty, people asking questions, people making moves and making decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never seen a time like we're in right now. And unless we lift up our eyes, unless we get healed, we cannot be effective in this harvest. That's my exhortation at the beginning here. I'm encouraging us to lift up our eyes and see that harvest. If you cannot enter into the harvest fully as a laborer, certainly we can go to the cross. That is our doorway into the harvest as a laborer, through the blood of Christ, the planting of the Lord. We're going to see that later on. We're here to proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh, hallelujah. Hope, hope for situations. Sim, you go to the prison. Some of you men go to the prison. Situations that I know nothing about. Situations that I were never a part of my life, and I would not know how to identify with those things. Liberty to that. Proclaiming liberty. Again, proclaiming through the blood of the cross, through the word of God, proclaiming liberty to those who can't see it. We can see it if we haven't experienced things that other people have. And that's why we will see later in Jeremiah, being tenderhearted, being kind, being loving and forgiving, but proclaiming liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I know how it feels to be in prison in my heart. I do. It took someone to come up beside me. It took someone to share with me, because I was in prison. I was bound up. And I was in prison, and I didn't know how to get out. I know how that feels this morning. And if we could just only, first of all, find time to minister in this way. I'm not saying we need to change our lifestyles. Maybe it's more our thinking. Because who will go? Who will go if we don't? This harvest will happen with or without us. to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? So that he can be glorified through us. Through us. The planting of the Lord, the prayer and burden for the church and community. Amen. May God continue to delight in us. We'll see in Jeremiah later on, he delights in us, and we are to be, verse 1 to 3, he's simply encouraging us to be full, to be fresh, to be ready to share the good news, and be excited to do that. This is not popular this morning, brothers and sisters. This is not popular. But I want to challenge us. I want to encourage us this morning to step out in faith. And may God give us grace and wisdom as we go. I know that God is just waiting. And sometimes he just waits and waits until we say, "Yes, Lord." And then he'll begin to unfold the story right before our eyes. Put people in our path. I really appreciate this body. I'm so blessed to be with the church, be a part of the church here. And I get excited about coming here. But you know what else I get excited about? We have the opportunity this afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, to do what we do here. When I think of each one of us doing that in your own communities, the harvest, it will move the needle. In business, we say, we move the needle, maybe just a little bit, in the last 3 months. It will move God. And as we go, we'll have the blessing of God on us. It'll be his delight. Verse 9. Look what it says about our children. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Isn't that what we want? I desire that. We have children, we have older children. At one point we had very young children, and it was hard to imagine how that is going to be. And I'm blessed with our children that they want to follow the Lord. But people can see that the blessing of God is on your children. That starts with us, a vision, dad and mom. You as parents to have a vision for kingdom work and to walk in his ways like Aaron was sharing. It'll be his delight. Psalm 34:18, God's heart is close to the brokenhearted. Just talk about that a little bit. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. This chapter here, what is he saying? He's saying that all these things, he'll bind up the brokenhearted. He'll set the captives free. That's what he's saying. He'll open the prison doors. All he needs is vessels to work in that harvest. And then he says, "But ye shall be named priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God." So he takes broken pieces, and that's what the body of Christ is all about. I'm really blessed here recently listening to this song by Mark Bishop. Just ties in so well. I came across it on our trip to Colorado and was listening to it some. But it goes like this. Verse 1, searching through the ashes of the person that I was, devastation came. I found my strength is not enough. Excuse me. Like stood shining on a hill, through my eyes could see, upon the path there were others just like me, broken vessels just like me. The chorus goes, God builds churches with broken people, with hurting people, with searching people. Somehow these imperfect people find strength to make it through, and the broken become brand new. Verse 2, they have come from everywhere, from every walk of life, each one beneath the traveler's load, pain or guilt or strife. And in his like a bough, with shattered dreams and broken hearts, yet with his hand somehow, with loving hand somehow. God builds churches with broken people, with hurting people, with searching people. Somehow these imperfect people find strength to make it through, and the broken become brand new. Just a picture of the church in total submission to Jesus Christ and He healing us and taking our wounds, taking our shattered dreams, taking those things that we are broken and bound up with and setting us at liberty. Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Lord, I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Let's go to Matthew 5. I just want to look at that a little bit in light of what we're talking about. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus shared there. Here again, God, how does God delight in His people? What does He do to delight in His people that are submitted to Him, broken people, broken pieces, painful events, things that we're seeking strength for, and becoming brand new? Let's go all the way up to 16. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let this be an encouragement to us as we go through here. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm just going to back up there to verse 9 a little bit. Excuse me. We have a what is a peacemaker? Is that someone that pleases everyone, gets along with everyone, does whatever you want him or her to do? No, it's actually the opposite. At work, we have a saying. It's actually someone who stands for truth in order to be called the children of God. But we have a saying at work that we challenge each other. It's mean what you say. Say what you mean. But just don't say it mean. Mean what you say. Stand for truth. It's okay. We have the Word of God. We have God. Mean what you say. Say what you mean. Explain yourself. Help me understand. But just don't say it mean. It doesn't have to be said with an attitude. That's my encouragement. We need to be peacemakers in this harvest. We need to tell people about truth and what's important to God. However, in our own life first, I must walk that out in my own life, and so that it reflects Jesus Christ. Peacemakers. There's a lot to be unpacked there, but I thought of that as I was studying for this. But here's who you are when you're walking with God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. This is a very difficult one to accept. When I say what I mean, it's based on truth, and somebody falsely accuses me, what should I do? What should I do if that person isn't hungry? I'm working with somebody in the harvest. They're not thirsty. But I really meant what I said. And I know I'm right because it's based on truth. If you keep justifying yourself, eventually you're going to say it mean. It's okay, okay. I did what I was supposed to. I know that God gave me that word, and he wanted me to say that. And it's okay. The person did not receive it. He wasn't hungry. He wasn't thirsty. How about if I go tell somebody else about the good tidings? There's many that are hungry and thirsty. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Oh, here's the answer. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is nothing new. We will be falsely accused. So rejoice and be exceeding glad. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Stand for truth. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Oh, hallelujah. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, again, bringing glory to God. When we bring glory to God and we walk in His ways, we will truly be blessed. We will truly be favored by God. So how do we view the harvest? How do we think about what time is it? I mean, I'm even thinking this morning, I got to watch the clock. It's almost 11:30. We're going to dismiss at 12. What time is it in the realm of time? It would be very interesting to know what's on each of your minds at what time it is in the realm of time. Anything less than 100 years is really, really short in the realm of time. But that's about what we have. Unless some of you will make it over 100. I don't know. Maybe. But what time is it? What time is it right now? How do we view the harvest? What are we focused on? This is actually a really good question for each of us. If we don't know what time it is, then my question to each one of us is, what time is it in your mind? What are you focused on? What is taking your attention? What is taking your time? Let's ponder that. Dan, if you could pull that other picture up. I just want to show another view here. The one we had before is just a glorious view. This one here expresses an urgency. This one here expresses what time it is. This is a dream that my wife had, and I feel very disqualified to share this. But she had this dream, and she got one of the girls from Mexico to paint it for her. And we have this picture at home. And this is standing in her dream. She's standing at the foot or at the behind the barn, looking out across her home farm. And this is the dream. You have a wheat field on the right. Just a normal thunderstorm, maybe, but to her it was very vivid. The focus is on the right side, not so much on the left. But on the right side, you have a beautiful wheat harvest that should be harvested. And you'll notice in the background, there's a tremendous storm that's about to come across that wheat field. I don't know what time it is, but I see this picture in the time that we're in. There's people on the right side. It may be you, maybe prostrate on the soil praying. There's people going out around this wheat field that are watching. There's people that are laboring intensely to make this right side happen. They are walking with God, totally focused, and have a targeted vision and an intense watch on that harvest. And so my wife had this dream and she shared it. And it just increased our burden for where we are in this time. The storm that you see is eventually going to overtake the wheat field. If we illustrate that to where we are today, according to the Word of God, there's a storm going to come that's going to take everything away that we have and see. And some of those clouds could be the thing Aaron was talking about, just the compromise, the deception, the things that we can't be a part of, but yet we're in the middle of this harvest, and we have one eye on the storm, and the other, we're laboring in the field. And I hope this is an encouragement to all of us, is if we're not engaged into being a laborer for the Lord, that doesn't have to take long. That does not have to take long. It's just simply submitting myself to Christ in a further way, submitting myself to God in a greater way, or having Him heal my broken pieces. There's a lot of things that we could do to become healed. But I haven't found that anything is so effective as the blood of Jesus Christ. I have seen people set free. I have worked with people. We have worked with people. And somehow God set them free. You've heard testimonies here last weekend of people that once walked in darkness and now are walking in light and receive the baptism as a step of faith for their lives. Beautiful. Broken pieces becoming brand new. And so as you look at this picture, what are you focused on? What are your efforts? I'm talking about, what are your efforts this spring? What are your efforts this summer, this fall, in the next year? What are you focusing on? What time is it? What time is it? You know, it's really easy for me to think my focus is definitely on that harvest. But sometimes it isn't. So I'm with you. I'm just encouraging us this morning. We need a higher focus on the wheat field. Praying for people, ministering to people, teaching people. You'll still be broken. You'll still be broken while you're doing this. But you'll have faith in God. We'll have faith in God and we'll thank Him. We'll thank Him for having us in the fold. Maybe it's raising your family. Maybe God just wants you to focus on that for a little bit. Maybe things are out of order. Maybe it's your husband and wife relationship that we heard about this morning. The beauty of that. Maybe God wants you to focus on that for a season. That is part of the work. That is part of laboring. That is part of drawing us together so He can, so our prayers won't be hindered as a couple. And God help me. God help us. Share a story here that kind of brought this on. My wife, we were on the way to Colorado. I think that's where we were. Driving along, and she shared a story about her and her sister, younger sister, having a conversation. And I want to share this from the light, from the perspective of how ripe the harvest is. And so they were visiting, and you know, obviously their church has gone through a major change among many churches in our communities right now. And I will say, the revolution that I see happening, I've never seen before. There is something being written. There's something being written in time that will make history. This is like, you know, we talk about COVID. We talk about 9/11. We talk about different things that, oh, that was history. I remember that. This is another revolution that we'll remember for a long time. There is something happening right now. There is a shaking going on. And if we don't recognize it, this is something that's being guided by God. And so there were talks, she was sharing with my wife about the different changes, and my wife was just sharing with her about the truth to look for. What shall we do? You know, in the middle of decision here, this is all about discipleship and the opportunities that we have to take part in those. How do we walk through this? And just encouraging her to make God the final authority for all life and practice. Base all your decisions on the Word of God. Base everything on that truth. And that will lead you, it's not popular, but that will lead you to victory. Sharing with her. And then also challenging her, you know, if, depending who you sign up under, will that bring fruit? Not only for you as a couple, but you as a family. These are decisions for eternity. Help people believe that. These are decisions for eternity. The very vital decisions of who you put yourself under and who you walk with, how you'll be influenced. What are they saying about the truths of Scripture? And then my wife said, "But I don't want to meddle into your business and into your life." And here was the response that gripped me. She said, "We need help. You are not meddling into us. We want to know what to do." She said, "We are also a part of that same body. So don't be afraid to say what you mean." My wife was telling me this, and hair on my arms stood up. I said, "Hon, it's time to move in. It's time to get off of our knees and move into the harvest. Take the opportunities that you have, your neighbors, your friends, the people around you, your coworkers, it's time to move in. I remember a day back in 2011, specifically the one evening, we were praying at this altar, maybe 15, 20 or so men, young boys, on a Saturday evening. We for years met here to pray on a Saturday evening until we switched to Tuesday morning, but I remember this altar up and crying out to God for what we're seeing this morning. That's where we are. God is answering prayer. I want us to recognize that this morning. God is answering a prayer, not because of us, but I have this memory of just crying out for the impossible. Crying out for things that are happening now, the revolution, the churches are being shaken because people are hungry and thirsty. It's not just the Amish church, it's everywhere. You see people on the street that are lost, probably more than ever before. You see young people that are becoming disillusioned more than ever before. But you also see hungry, thirsty people that want what's right in the eyes of God. And they can be fed. And you know what? You have the answer. All of you have the answer to bring in the harvest. Sometimes when we pray for something, we may not see it in our lifetime. But I'm so thankful this morning I was able to witness this in my lifetime. But it inspires me to even pray more for things that agree with God. That evening we were praying here. I think it was double-layered. Down on our knees. And this is what we were praying for. The revolution we see today is what we were praying for. And not because of us, but it agrees with the heart of God. It agrees with what God wants. It's His burden. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praying and ministering, teaching to broken hearts, proclaiming liberty. And there's just a few simple truths. I mentioned the one already. Encourage people with the Word of God. The Word of God is our final authority. This is our final authority. This is our roadmap for life and practice. Never underestimate this. Take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Again, we're talking about being at the feet of Jesus so we can be empowered to work in that harvest. That is one. The second one we can encourage people with is, and I've been practicing this whenever I can, whenever there's a hungry and a thirsty heart, make Jesus the head of all your decisions. It became very clear a few years ago, unless we as elders run everything through Christ, all decisions run through Christ, everything is measured, and we not even take pride in what's happening, or we give Christ the honor for the relationships that are happening here today. We keep Christ as a head. Give Him glory for that. And that is our hearts. That is our hearts. But encourage people to make decisions and filter it through making Jesus the center of that decision. He's the head of the church. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's our salvation. But let's understand, when we make a decision, if it's not based on Christ or the Word of God, and you're not making Him the head of that decision. In other words, if that decision is based on not making Jesus the head, or let's just say it this way. In other words, if the decision is based on making Jesus the head, confirmed in His Word, it will bring life to us. Simple, two simple things that we can encourage people in. Preparation for that. Preparation to walk in the body of Christ. As we're looking even at the church project here, what is the purpose? Why would we do such a thing when there's a storm coming that's going to overtake? Why would we do such a thing? But let's keep in mind, there's a purpose behind it. There's a purpose. May this be a house of worship. May it be a house of fellowship. May it be where people feel safe to share. The bowl and the towel in front of the pulpit here. May it be to wash somebody's feet that's tired, that's broken, proclaiming liberty. So Lord, give us wisdom, wisdom and understanding. Hospitality is another one. Bringing people into our spaces for fellowship. Oh, hallelujah. Use your home as a house of worship and prayer. Meeting people. Inviting people in add one more plate. Add two more plates. Invite somebody into your home. Take a risk. Everything is a risk. Take a risk and just try it. Invite somebody into your home. And then also personal prayer and meditation and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let's turn with each other to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. We serve Him in the harvest, and then He does this work through us as we walk in humility and grace before Him. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Again, humility. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this, and he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Three things there that stand out to me is that we can walk in as we share with people, loving kindness, but just that being tenderhearted, exercising that, exercising judgment. We talked about a peacemaker standing for truth and righteousness and expressing that. I saw that in Brother Aaron this morning. How did he have the authority to come up here and say that? How did he have the authority to teach us? Based on God's living word, and it is the heart of God. That gives us the authority. Outside of that, we have no authority. Unless we walk under the authority of God, we have no authority. But exercising that, standing for truth and righteousness, living and promoting holiness, righteousness, living that and promoting it, exhorting each other, encouraging each other in the earth, because the Lord delights, it brings Him delight when we do these things. Verses 23, if you would turn that around, if the wise man would glory in his wisdom, we see much of this. And that's what God wants to redeem in each one of us and in all people, all tribes and nations. We see the power struggle. Mighty man, glory in his might. We see the wealth and everything. Nothing wrong with it. But when it's used in a wrong way, it dishonors God. when we glory in our riches, but not in the fact that God has provided. You know, we traveled across the country to Colorado, and my wife and I had discussion on the way. I said, you know, there's not very many places like the county we live in. Prosperous, industrious, innovative, products coming out of here, wisdom, close-knit communities, deep fellowship. When you travel out, you see a little bit more of an independence. You see that people just have a little bit more, they're more independent. But here, it seems like everybody is closely knit or not. But to me, it looks like we're closely knit. And I said, there's not very many, that is actually not normal as we travel through the country here. It's not as normal. So I would say, let's treasure that. Let's build on that. Let's use those resources. Let's use what God has blessed us with and use it for the glory of God in His harvest. James 1:27, here's another effort. A pure and holy goal and lifestyle, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And then Matthew 25:40, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Again, that's the vision of this church, to a measure. The bowl and the towel. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, those. I just told you the story about my sister-in-law. Those that are hungry. Those that are thirsty. Doesn't mean that they're any less, but you have something to offer them, possibly. You have something to give. You have something that God has allowed you to have an experience in, and therefore you can give it to them, and it will bring life to them. Yes. If you could bring that other picture up again. Dan, as you look at this picture, again in closing, He has appointed us this morning. He has appointed us to set the captives free. He has appointed us to walk in that place of anointing. It says the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Let's make it personal. Upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open of the prison to them that are bound. And then it goes on into beautiful ashes, all of joyful mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Those are action words. However, we can be a part of that planting, the planting of the Lord. And one can be just simply that prayer, that deep intercessory prayer, that deep prayer meditation, when you're focused and agreeing with God on the harvest that is happening, and Jesus is coming back to gather that whole thing called the body to himself. He will gather us together. Don't be discouraged when it gets hard. This is not going to be, and I'm not encouraging an easy thing. Be okay if it gets messy. Be okay if it gets hard. Look at what Christ went through for you. It got messy. It got hard. But through the power of God, he was able to give you new life when he resurrected through the death and resurrection. Now through that new life, you can also have new life and be made brand new. As if God looks at your sin, your brokenness, your path, your history, if you're totally redeemed, He will look at that as if it never had happened. But we see it. We have scars. We remember it. But that doesn't change the fact that God looks differently. He looks new, as if it had never happened, as if it were never there, Elmer. You would have always been walking where you are now. We would have always been walking where we are this morning. That's not true. But God erased that past, and he said he washed it white as snow. I don't know of a whiter color than fresh snow. White as snow, the whole way off the charts. That's our God. That's our Jesus. He has anointed us, and he has appointed us to sit at his feet, and he'll bring victory to the captives. As you proclaim liberty to them, he will set us free. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're laborers together. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this truth, Lord. Thank you for just telling us what time it is. Lord, we don't know exactly when you're going to gather this whole harvest together. But certainly, we see storm clouds. Certainly, we see a hunger and a thirst. Certainly, we see people asking lots of questions and wanting truth and wanting what's right. People that desire to be in Bible studies. People that desire to study the Bible. People that desire to love their wives and their children in a godly way. People that have a heart for the lost. Oh God, we see that harvest. So help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Show each one of us how we ought to arrange our lifestyles, arrange our schedules. Furthermore, how we ought to sit at your feet. Oh God, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be poured out among your church, Lord. Lord, empower us through the Holy Spirit that we can do the work of ministry. We can set captives free. We can speak into impossible, what looks impossible to us. And Lord, through that, you truly will make things brand new. Thank you, Lord. We just commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. I did want to say yet that I see a hunger and a thirst here, probably like I've never seen before. And what I mean by that, I see a stability here in you all. I see a reverence. I see a solid hunger and thirst for righteousness. And thank God for that. Give him the glory for that. But keep pressing in. Keep pressing into the things of God. God bless you.